For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free weekly Wednesday Wake Up email newsletter. And as always, if you haven't already, please share, subscribe to, and support our work. And as lately, with thanks to viewers in the next spot on our all-time list of views by jurisdiction, this week, Iceland at number 32. And incidentally, Iceland has the highest electricity use per capita on Earth, and is second only to Qatar on total per capita energy use. It's also hard to reach except by airplane. Which brings me to this week's top story, a lament from Bloomberg Green that, quote, air travel is soaring, and so are emissions, end quote. Boo, humans going places. The piece that it teases to has the good grace to admit that, quote, airlines trying to reduce emissions with green jet fuel face reality check, end quote. To which we say, yeah, that green jet fuel is another one of those energy transition mirages. But they miss the much bigger point. Normal people may have been intimidated into saying they believe in a man-made climate crisis, and may even have been lulled into thinking that they were willing to make lifestyle changes, provided they didn't have to give anything up. But their behavior, from the cars they buy to the planes they fly in, suggests that they no more believe in it than the green virtue-signaling celebrities jetting off to Jeff Bezos' lavish wedding. Which we think serves the alarmists right for the bullying tone of their, well, arguments is often not the right word, since a key part of their approach was steamrolling opponents rather than engaging with them respectfully. It might seem counterintuitive that the alarmists blundered big time by capturing the commanding heights of our society, but they did. They dominate academia, popular entertainment, journalism, and politics, except for a few figures like Donald Trump, and increasingly, people tune out all four. As Jordan Peterson once said, when you're getting confused by someone's messaging, it can be helpful to turn off the sound and just watch the pictures of folks getting on planes in midsummer to go, sorry Iceland, to somewhere even warmer. Incidentally, Lululemon recently emailed us, quote, these scores, especially hot, end quote. We won't pass judgment on the garments, the models, or the possible impact if we posed in the hotty hot high-rise line short in raceway green. But pitches like summer scores, catch these rays, or summer scores, get in while it's hot, confirm that normal people do not dislike summer. Oh, and Eventbrite also emailed us, quote, say yes to fun this season with our top outdoor experiences, from movie screenings and sports to on-the-water adventures and more, end quote. See, when it warms up, people head outdoors. What do they know that experts don't? And speaking of heat, the absurdity of journalists portraying warmth as deadly soars unabated. An item in the Ottawa Sun about severe thunderstorms that seem not to have materialized also prated, quote, a stifling heat wave continued to hold the capital in its grasp Sunday with fresh heat warnings from Environment Canada. The forecast is for a high of 31 degrees Celsius, end quote. 31 Celsius? That's 87.8 Fahrenheit. And the legacy media raves on that, quote, the sizzling temperatures are expected to continue through at least Wednesday, end quote. As is public scorn. The Guardian, meanwhile, emailed us a fundraiser with the subject line, as the world swelters. And the high in London, England that day, we checked, was 29 degrees Celsius. Now, speaking of temperatures, we realize that anecdotes aren't great evidence. But one of us was recently driving on the 401, a major highway through northern Toronto, which is Canada's largest city, and this was a few weeks back, and we got an external temperature reading from the car of 40 degrees Celsius. But the official high in Toronto that day was just 34. So, beware the urban heat island. By the way, the same person also routinely drives from rural Ontario into Ottawa. And even in late afternoon, when temperatures are falling, it's always a degree or two hotter on arrival than on departure. And we invite you to try it yourself, wherever you live. Oh, and from the Hidden in Plain Sight file, Jesse Klein in the National Post writes that Canada's natural governing party, that's the Liberals, is rediscovering the economic importance of natural resources, or should be. Alas, he describes a number of failed multi-billion dollar state programs like, quote, innovation, investment, and supercluster programs, end quote, and a Canada Growth Fund that produced only debt, frustration, and regulations, while our productivity, income growth, and well-being crashed. So, if you want a demonstration project for the Green New World, here it sits, brown, red, and ugly. Of course, when we're promised a green energy transition, we're alternatively told that we won't have to make any lifestyle sacrifices and that we didn't really want what we're giving up anyway. So, we were intrigued to be teased to an article, quote, "I'm a microbiologist. Here's how often you should really wash your bedding," end quote. Obviously, given the person's profession, the message was going to be that we don't do it nearly often enough and we're wallowing in filth, partly because microbiologists feel about cleanliness the way dentists do about flossing, namely that 4 times a day is barely adequate, and also partly because, about why dwell on our laundry habits. The point is, the article complained that, quote, just 28% of Brits wash their sheets once a week, end quote, and we suspect that most of that 28% are totally lying and the rest are totally obsessive. But the obsessive author says do sheets and pillowcases weekly, quote, or even 3 to 4 days if you've been ill, sweat heavily, or share your bed with pets, end quote, and at 60 degrees Celsius or higher, which is going to use a lot of energy now, isn't it? We were also struck by an article about how Canada's David Suzuki Foundation, Green Do-Gooder Supreme, quote, has repeatedly used false and alarmist imagery to exaggerate the ecological impacts of natural gas development in northeastern British Columbia, a new complaint to Canada's Competition Bureau alleges, end quote. Specifically, they use an older aerial image of Wyoming to denigrate natural gas in BC today, even after being told of the error. But what really struck us was the throwaway line that the foundation, quote, raised $12.1 million in Canadian donations, end quote, last year alone, and has some $22.5 million in reserve. Yet they pose as David, confronting the skeptical Goliath of, well, people like us. And just when you thought it couldn't get worse, though public policy, like golf and life generally, is never so bad that it can't, MAGA types want to hold hearings on geoengineering conspiracy theories in the wake of those Texas floods. Not to rebut them, apparently, but to indulge in them. No! Stop! It was bad enough already. And another thing. A Bloomberg Green story warns that while Chinese workers are meant to get some sort of heat wave allowance or danger money if required to work, quote, for hours in extreme heat conditions, end quote, which apparently means over 35 degrees Celsius, it doesn't actually happen. Which might alert some to the lack of rule of law in China. But also, one of us recalls being told by his father that in an early job at a factory, he was given salt pills when it became unpleasantly hot. So apparently there was temperature back in the 1940s. And yes, at 95 degrees Fahrenheit, it is getting hot. Not unprecedentedly, but hot. Ah, and as the electric vehicle lack of revolution grinds to a halt without subsidies, we're suddenly told that a Chinese firm has invented a way to charge an EV in 5 minutes. It's the sort of thing swallowed whole by media outlets that regularly run features like, quote, "There's a race to power the future. China is pulling away," end quote. But when we read things like, quote, "This new EV battery patent claims extreme range and ultra-fast charging, 5 minutes flat," end quote, our immediate reaction, quoting from an email containing same, is, quote, "I heard it too, but I should think it's highly unlikely. Presumably, if they had, you could also charge your cell phone in about 8 seconds. And a lot of things would explode," end quote, including press credibility. Ah, and last week we complained about misuse of scorched to describe places that got warm in summer as usual, noting that scorching requires things to be blackened and perhaps broken. So on the latter point, we think it is only fair to note a story that, quote, "Germany will carry out emergency repairs on its Autobahn this weekend after extreme heat in recent days blew up large chunks of concrete along key stretches of the highway. Temperatures of up to 39 degrees Celsius caused the material to expand and crack open roads in various parts of the country, leading to hours-long traffic jams," end quote. So, heat broke their Autobahn? Well, no. As that story admits, quote, "The phenomenon known as blow-ups occurs when concrete expands and has nowhere to go, leading to sudden fractures or cracks. It mostly affects older, heavily used, or previously repaired highways during high temperatures, especially ones that aren't layered with asphalt," end quote. So, worn-out road cracks would be a far more realistic headline, if less scary. But one of the nasty habits of climate alarmism is to mix and match. As, for instance, a Daily Mail story headlined, quote, "Bees are losing their buzz. Warmer weather reduces frequency and pitch of wing vibrations, researchers warn," end quote. In fact, researchers warn nothing of the sort. Rather, quote, "Analysis showed that bees were affected by both increased temperatures and exposure to heavy metals, with their muscles contracting less during buzzing," end quote. heavy metals? What, did the thermometer blow its top and spray them with mercury? Or are you blaming climate change for genuine toxic pollution that's quite unrelated to it? And yet another thing. Two of them, actually. Last week, we told you that we love birds. And this week, for our Have It Both Ways series, we want you to know that we love forests. And in Canada, we have lots of them. For now. But climate change is coming for them. Science has shown that climate change will cause more fires in the boreal forest. Fortunately, science has shown that climate change will cause fewer fires in the boreal forest. Wait, how can they both be true? Simple. It's climate change, where you can have it both ways. I think that I will never see a prediction lovely as a tree. Also, at CDN we frequently mock the idea that the world is in an energy transition where big, industrialized countries are decarbonizing. But when we're confronted with convincing data, we sometimes have to change our minds. And Roger Pilkey Jr. has recently shown a chart on his Substack of U.S. emissions intensity, that's millions of tons of carbon dioxide per $1,000 of gross domestic product, adjusted for inflation. And over the 34 years since 1992, the year of the Rio conference that got the ball rolling on climate policy, their emissions intensity fell by a little over half. But there are two other remarkable features of this graph. First, it's a straight line sloping downward. For most of that time, there was no U.S. federal climate policy, but it made no difference. Second, it's still going down, and at the current pace could reach zero in 2050. Or not, because of Stein's law that things that can't continue don't. But whatever it does, it will be due to good old free enterprise looking to trim energy bills, not bad new government trying to pass climate bills. Finally, from the CO2science.org archive, we bring you yet another plant with a cool name. Sporobolus pyramidalis bove. No, that's not the cool name. The cool name is its common name, whorled dropseed, which, in honor of Dave Barry, would be a good name for a rock band. Like so many of God's little creations, this plant can either be an invasive pest or a pretty flower, depending where it is and how you look at it. But love it, hate it, or play it, the stuff prefers hot places from the U.S. South into South America, though as it resembles other less whorled dropseeds, rumors that it's in China, Africa, and elsewhere are not confirmed. But in 2001, we do know, six experiments found that an additional 300 parts per million of CO2 boosted its growth by an average of 33.5%. So whirl on, little dropseed, wherever the wind takes you. And a one, and a two, and for the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I fly guilt-free class.
That's right.